Hey, good morning, friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and, once again, health research right to your doorstep, or your computer, or your phone, your tablet, whatever you're listening on today. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday. Got a lot of wild stories on the docket to cover today and a whole lot of nutrition stuff as well. There's another one that goes into detail that I'll be discussing on B12 again. You guys liked a lot of the topics that we covered yesterday, including the B12. A lot of people learned how important it is and why you got to make sure you got high doses. And he's still with us today. He took 10 of them. That was a lot.
I have to admit that.
The bottle's half empty.
I didn't sleep real well last night.
You didn't?
Kind of groggy. I won't do that again.
That was a lot of B12, dude.
But I'm okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure you felt pretty good yesterday.
I felt great. Of course, I felt so great, I didn't want to sleep.
One of the first topics that I want to cover today on here, and I was pulling it up earlier, and it was going into detail. Where is it here? I pulled it up, and it goes into detail with Volkswagen now. Now, this is interesting. So I've talked to you guys many a times about how they've wanted to do subscriptions and fees on Tesla models, and even BMW rolled some stuff out to where, you know, you paid like a $10 a month fee, and they got a lot of blowback from this, $10 or $20 a month, and suddenly your heated seats work. And these other options that are already installed on the car.
So ridiculous.
Someone saying it's another way to, rip more people off what they want to do. Well, Volkswagen.
You already paid for the option.
The option's already in the car.
Yeah, I know.
It's already there. But they want to charge you. Well, you didn't get the next upgraded model, so you can get these options for an extra $20 a month. We'll turn them on for you. Really? Really, dude? So if the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 car wasn't enough, now I got to pay a subscription every month to have cooled seats. Well, Volkswagen, which is pretty much controlled by the banker boys after the EPA came in and fined them, what was it, $28, $26 billion for their diesel cars they found possibly could sometimes beat emission requirements. Well, after that, Volkswagen's never been the same. Now, Volkswagen's starting to have a charge, a subscription fee to get more horsepower out of your electric car. So you can pay $14.99 a month, and your car can go a little bit faster. You can get its full electric potential. Tesla's already doing this. But that's not the topic of the story. The big one that they're doing here, this is pretty crazy, and this is something that I didn't even realize was going to be a thing yet, and it is. Volkswagen's full-inclusive car subscription now. The all-inclusive electric driving includes everything except electricity. Flexible terms start from 3 to 6 months. So they're going to do now here is, they're going to have it's like a lease, but they're calling it a subscription. So you get a subscription for the car for like 3 months or 6 months. You get 800 free kilometers each month to drive. If you go over the 800 kilometers, you pay massive fines on it. And they said it's going to start at $4.99 a month. This includes Volkswagen insurance, Volkswagen maintenance. You literally do nothing. You pick the car up, you pay $4.99 a month. When you're done with the car after a few months, you turn it back in and trade it in for something else or another vehicle. The thing about this is, and I was reading about it, is again, there's all these additional fees and stuff that they hit you with. So if you go over the 800 kilometer range limit they give you every month, you get hit with more fees. If you go in and essentially leave state or leave a zone or leave a district that the car is not essentially subscribe to, they charge you another 50 euro fee. If you go here, they charge you all these different fees, and it's all designed to go back exactly what we talked about, is to prevent anybody from owning a vehicle. That way, nobody can actually travel or go freely unmolested on their way. They're pretty much stuck in an electric piece of crap that they don't own, and they turn back in after 3 months. And this will just continue to go up and up and up, as this is the pilot program. And so, again, this is how they're starting to get people eased into what Klaus Schwab said, you'll own nothing by 2030, and you'll love it. The same thing that's happened here now with a lot of the houses. They're leasing all these houses all the time now. I've said there's promos for houses all over the place now in Florida. House lease, house lease, house lease. So nobody actually owns a house. You're leasing a house, you're leasing a car, you're leasing this. So that's the entire point, and this is the new Volkswagen subscription model that they're rolling out. I thought I would roll that out there. This is interesting.
That's because Volkswagen is now owned by the folks who like to breathe free air.
That's exactly right.
And the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan with Larry Fink and the rest of the gang, now he's running the World Economic Forum, they don't want you to own cars.
No.
So you don't own this car now.
You don't own anything.
Okay.
It's not even a lease. It's a subscription.
Yeah. Now, I think you have to buy the car, then you have to subscribe to get the extra horsepower and stuff.
Now, that for that option, this is not that. This is a €499 a month subscription for 3 to 6 months for the car. It's literally a short-term basic lease.
Well, I just wasn't paying attention, I guess, when you were talking.
That's you weren't paying attention.
Terrible. I was pulling up my next story.
Did you listen to B12?
I'll pass. I'm still saturated with that one. Of course, after 24 hours, I'm sure it's pretty much out of my system. But, you know, I don't know what to say about this because what they're doing is they're maximizing profits. You know, Marriott's doing that now. You know, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I tried to get a hotel room for tomorrow, actually for tonight, and there were no upgrades available. There was nothing available, no rooms available. They told me there was a car show in town. I've looked it up. There is no car show in town. I don't understand any of that either. And so the craziest part about it is what they do, they find out the people who've spent the most money at Marriott, like they do in Vegas, when they have the big whales come into town, these guys will drop $100,000 a day, you know, on the blackjack table or whatever, and they give them a penthouse suite for free for a week.
Yeah.
So they'll spend another $100,000 a day. And they have complimentary meals, complimentary everything. And then they go home bragging, I had everything was complimentary, but I only had to spend $4 million.
Yeah,
I lost $5 million, but I got $100,000
for free.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what this article goes in here. It says Marriott Bonvoy took away the best room promises and hoped you wouldn't notice. And so what they do now, pretty much any of their suite upgrades, desirable views, rooms on high floors or amenities and executive floors, instead of giving them to the platinum elite or highest, the best that's available, now essentially they give them whoever they feel like the AI deems it so, and it's based on a financial spending basis. So they go in and look, okay, well, these guys are titanium elite with Marriott Bonvoy. List comes up of people that are checking in. Well, these guys have an average ticket of $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 a weekend with drinks and all kinds
of stuff. I've seen that, by the way. It's hard to believe,
easy.
But I've seen it.
Easy, yeah. I mean, some of these.
Well, I didn't have it, but they did.
You see, I've seen it at checkout before. You got three or four or five people staying in the room, and they're eating and drinking the whole entire time.
I don't drink alcohol. A lot of times I just bring GHI Cleanse with me, and I have that as a meal. I'm like, you know. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't want a big meal right now. It'll take 2 hours to do that. I'll just have a GHI cleanse and head down to the beach.
Yeah.
Hide under the umbrella.
But again, this is another way for them to maximize profits and take away such tiny little amenities like a suite upgrade.
What they don't get here is this, and I'm picking on them right now because I talked to one of the general managers of the hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. She didn't have any idea what was going on.
No, the Marriott guys don't know what's going on.
No, because they didn't tell anybody.
No.
And what they do, when they look at the computer, it says everything is sold or unavailable. Yeah. And they don't know how to clear it. They can't. They used to have a button they could push, they said.
They can't now.
They can't.
No.
They can't see it. So they can't give you an upgraded room because the button says it's not available.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah. Speaking about an upgraded room, we're going to segue. This is a good segue.
Okay.
Inmate at Ghislaine Maxwell's cushy new prison is booted to a grim lockdown facility in Texas after she did an interview about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. She ran her mouth.
And she wasn't supposed to.
No, she ran her mouth and did an interview about Maxwell, and all of a sudden she gets booted out of the cushy, cushy prison. She was in it for 1 year for theft. And she had not done anything bad at all. She was in it for shooting. Don't even ask. And so basically, excuse me, friends. It's a long story. This was turned off, and I don't know why it was doing that. Button called mute. You did it the other day.
I put on mute airplane mode.
On mute. Okay, this is crazy. But anyhow, so they had puppy training programs at the other facility.
Oh, so it was like cush.
No, it was puppy training. There wasn't even a fence around it. They could just walk around, right?
Play-Doh time, puppy time.
So it was like you're the
country
girl
club.
Yeah, it's just one of those places, you know, that everybody goes, well, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden she's been booted to like maximum security facility there in Texas because she ran her mouth about Maxwell and gave an interview out.
Oh, man.
So yeah,
they want to keep her quiet is what that
is. Well, what it is Maxwell was running her mouth. Guarantee it.
We're
doing something unbelievably egregious, and they decided that she decided she's going to blow the whistle on her. Because remember, Maxwell was FCI. There was another high-level security facility in Tallahassee, and as she gives this interview to the Trump people, and all of a sudden she gets taken over to Texas into this cush where she has to train puppies all day. I would actually like training puppies all day. It'd be out of fun.
I mean, it's not that bad there. Hang out with dogs.
Hang out with the puppies.
Get fed.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
Just know what you don't do. Is you don't do interviews.
No. Other news, too.
No, this is funny.
What?
Years ago, it was Country Music Awards, okay? And Hank Williams Jr. called Obama Hitler.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And Carrie Underwood was doing the Country Music Awards, and I forgot who her co-host was. And I remember they did a little duet up there. You don't call the president Hitler. Yeah. Remember that? And it was so funny. And Hank Williams Jr. comes out. He goes, yep, I did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and it was great. So apparently you don't talk about Ghislaine Maxwell
at all.
When you're
don't talk about her.
I'll pull that article up. I'll pull that. You don't call the president Hitler.
Pull it up.
And I'll post it on the website. All right, what's the next?
Well, this is what, if you guys, you know, all my Cracker Barrel lovers weren't mad enough after that segment that I gave y'all yesterday, this one's just going to really get you guys frosted. So on top of their signage change, their overall basis of what Cracker Barrel was or is, they want to get rid of the concept of like that. So we talked about all day in a whole segment of the show today. They want to get rid of the old school Americana. Well, the new LGBTQ queer CEO, whatever she is, they've now shown photos of the new updated interior of Cracker Barrel. And here it is, about as dry and cold and sterile as it gets. You can see here, left, everybody knows the old school Cracker Barrel, the wood paneled walls, you know, the paddle on the wall, all kinds of old timey photos, just really cool stuff like you'd find at old, you know, old antique stores, shotgun above the fireplace. To my right, this is the new one. Looks like a sterile Denny's, if that. I think Denny's might even be nicer. They've got these placards on the wall with rolling pins and cups. Like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. The entire purpose of Cracker Barrel was, a lot of it was the environment and the Americana status to it. So this is her new revamp of Cracker Barrel. I don't know what's going to happen with their sales, but I can tell you one thing. They're not going to go up. That's a fact. There's not enough of the yuppies in the industry, in the environment, in the economy that are going to go to Cracker Barrel and start spending copious amounts of money now because it's rebranded with their purple and green hair. It's going to happen. It's just not their style, and it's not their place to go. They may go a little bit some, but the old school people, everybody that's gone to this place for decades and decades, I can guarantee you it's going to fall off rapidly with sales. But I thought you guys were going to kick out of that photo. As if we haven't lost enough to the United States, now Cracker Barrel is gone by the wayside.
We can't have Americana, Austin.
No.
It's something that nobody's going to allow anybody to do. It's just not going to happen. You know, because quite frankly, they have to get rid of the past. They've got to They have to get rid of nationalism. They have to get rid of, you know, we want to be a nuclear family and sit around and drink a cup of coffee.
With grandpa and grandma, purple sticks. On the front porch with rocking chairs.
Yeah.
With a shotgun over the fireplace. That's forbidden, foreboding. No more.
Papira bitta. You know? Papers, please. We got to check, make sure you're allowed to go in here. By the way, it was a 2013 award for Carrie Underwood.
Is it that long ago now?
Yeah. Remember when Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley mocked Obama at the 2013 CMA Awards? So I've gone ahead and posted this. You guys can go ahead and watch this if you'd like. It's really, really funny.
This article that came out now, this is interesting. It says over 1.5 million people who reported COVID vaccine injuries have been shut out from applying for compensation now.
Of course they are.
Little-known federal program that provides compensation for injuries or death related to COVID-19 vaccine failed to accept application for people who suffered injuries. Of those who submitted a claim, the odds are slim that they wouldn't be compensated sufficiently at all. So they're saying because the program covers only death or serious physical injuries, I guess getting, you know, myocarditis and pericarditis isn't enough now to warrant filing a claim. Yeah, the problem with this is, according to OpenVares, there are over 1.5 million people who suffered injuries that were not life-ending, and these individuals have now been shut out from the countermeasures injury compensation program. The problem that I have with all this, majority of people never asked for this shot. Nobody went out and said, oh my, now you see, you still have some of the idiots that lined up like sheep and they got their shot repeatedly. Like stood there and got shot after shot after shot.
Yeah, but
You got those.
But you got some of the people that are seriously misinformed.
And you got a lot of people that were forced and coerced by their employer that you're going to get terminated. And that's the problem I have with this. A lot of people never asked for this. They just want to have their job. They want to make their money. They want to stay in their business. And that's what they want to do. They didn't ask for this crap. Now they start having serious vaccine injuries. Now they apply for claims for compensation fund. They go, your injury wasn't bad enough from the shot that we forced you to take that was experimental that we threw together in 3 months and told everybody they had to get it. They weren't going to be able to function in society. Your injury's not bad enough for that yet. So we're giving you no claim. Goodbye. Away with you, peasant. Better luck next time. I mean, that's the part that I have with all this that's really irritating, is that nobody wanted this. Nobody asked for it. This was forced on the American population and then dropped on us like a nuclear bomb and then told we loved it, we wanted it, and we kept getting it. And the whole thing was complete and total lie. Now we see what's going on with the side effects from it.
Well, no, we know that people are dying of myocarditis, pericarditis. We know that children are being sterilized and the women are being sterilized. This is it's a biogenics weapon. Yeah. But you know what, though, Austin? I've spoken to a lot more people now, and they're finally coming out of the closet.
Oh, the vaccine closet?
About they didn't take the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. No, I know a lot of people
because
are saying
they're saying, no, I didn't take that one.
Well, a lot of people were. I've talked to people back in the day.
Only 80% took it.
I know. But some people were scared to tell everybody they didn't get the shot.
Well, you know, 20% out of 300 million is still 60 million people in the United States did not take this shot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people now over the last few months. Now, there's still a lot of people say, yeah, I did it. I really wish I'd never done it. But, you know, it's all like in retrospect. You know, you kind of look back on it. You go, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't listened. And some people say, I will never listen to stuff like that. But, you know, so it's like with the Cracker Barrel thing. I remember, you know, people make mistakes. But when they're CEOs, they make mistakes. It's horrible. You know, back in like 1992, 93, 94, 95, the Ford Taurus was the number one selling car in America. And I sold Honda Accord. I sold everything. Everybody loved the Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
And then they decided they were going to make it better. America's the number one selling car.
Yeah.
And they redesigned it in 96, and the sales completely cratered. Everything went oval. It had a big round window.
I remember
window
that.
The back.
It was ugly.
The car was hideous. And, you know, and was as funny as it, you know, they talk about how the 1996 Ford Taurus gets modern redesigned. It is still extremely ugly. And then it says, while researching this next rendering, the artist finds one article which says the 1996 Ford is a big disaster, as was 9/11 or the death of Princess Diana.
Oh, gosh, I compared it to all that.
Yeah, they're saying it's all that bad. Gosh. And, you know, and the crazy part about it is when you have the number one selling car in America and you get basically blowing the Honda Accords away and you don't bother to go out and do a chat or a group text or, well, back then they have group texts, but a survey on who likes this car and who doesn't like this car. Why don't you go ahead and draw it up on a plan, send it out to a million people in a survey. Do you like the new design? And if it overwhelmingly comes, this car is hideous, you might want to say, I don't want to produce this.
Well, and that's what a lot of companies have done now, too, is they go to forums and they look and see what people would do better. You know, Ford Bronco did a good job with that when they rolled it back out, is they would go to the Jeep. I talked to one of the Ford guys. They would go to the Jeep forums, see what people wanted on Jeeps that they didn't have, options they didn't have or things they didn't get on there, and they added on the Broncos. I mean, I bought one when they came out a while back ago. And, I mean, they're cheaply made in some cases, but overall – they were really, really cool as far as kind of taking the concept of the Jeep and make it a lot more driver friendly and a lot more ergonomic.
Wasn't that? That's the one you take the doors off of.
Yeah, I took everything off. Took the roof off, took the doors off. It was a blast riding around, open air. I mean, it was pretty cool. But they made a lot of little tweaks on it that really outdid the Jeep in some ways. Granted, the Jeep's always going to be the Jeep.
And then what did they do? They overbuilt them, made too many.
Then they overbuilt. They got it blew up as far as their design. Everybody loved it.
And then the value went to the floor.
And now they massively overproduced them. The same thing that Corvette's done now. The C8.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Z06s and the regular C8s, they're on the lots everywhere now because GM, again, got extremely greedy. They mass-produced these things, and the value's gone through the floor. And for what they are, for the performance value on them, they're incredible cars. But it's rough for a lot of these people, especially, I mean, there are guys that I saw. I mean, some dealerships were wanting, like, what, 40, 50,000 over sticker on the Z06 when it came out? Now you can get one 10 or 15,000 off sticker.
Oh, I knew a guy over there in Plant City. He sold one for $100,000 over sticker.
Over sticker when it came out, yeah. That poor soul if he kept that thing.
Oh,
gosh.
Well, the problem is that the dealerships, well, it was a used one, though. The guy had bought it and he flipped it.
Yeah.
And he got $100,000 over sticker for it because people wanted it so badly.
So bad.
And then they came out with this. Then they came out with this. And don't get me wrong. That Z06 got that flank crank engine.
Oh, no.
Great car.
Dollar for dollar. It's an incredible track car.
But then they came out with the ZR1.
And yeah.
And then Chevy, in its ultimate stupidity, came out with a ZR1X like 3 weeks later.
That's a cool car. They should have rolled it out in 6 to 12 months.
But you know how many 2025 they made of the ZR1?
It's in 50.
70.
70,
that's
it. That's why
so
they're holding the value.
In the event that you do have a ZR1, it's probably going to hold its value very, very well. But the problem is now nobody wants a ZR1 anymore. They want a
ZR1X with all-wheel drive.
And it still can't do what the GT3 RS can do on the Nürburgring. It's the craziest thing with half the horsepower.
Yeah.
By the way, Putin is pressuring Israel to transfer a sprawling Christian site in Jerusalem to Russia. I found this interesting. An ancient Christian area inside the walled city of Old Jerusalem is at the center of diplomatic tensions between Russia and Israel. And President Putin is now openly requesting that Netanyahu government hand over the ownership to Russia. The Alexander Courtyard is a 1,300 square meter, which was probably 10,000 square foot area, located near the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Christian Quarter, and is currently front and center of the intense ownership dispute in the packed and densely populated Old City. Land of this size is huge and very significant. It's very crowded there, by the way. I've been there, so is Austin. Considering very little meter of property, every little meter of property has been hotly fought over for decades, hundreds of years. The site is often called simply the Rushing Compound. It includes the Orthodox Church of St. Alexander, named after the 13th century warrior prince, and has been at the heart of a long-running legal and diplomatic conflict between Israel and Russia. The matter was reportedly raised directly during the discussions between Vladimir Putin and Netanyahu, which led to the prime minister appointing a special committee. There we go. That's how you do it. You set it up to committee so nobody has to make any decisions. Official throughout the drawn-out saga pointed out that President Putin views the issue as deeply personal because, remember, he's a very strong Russian Orthodox Christian. Yonet News has reviewed that the Imperial Orthodox Palestine Society has maintained de facto control over the court since its establishment in 1890. Historical Ottoman documents listed as belonging to the glorious Russian Empire, but the Russian government has used this Ottoman historic reference to argue the land should now fall under Russian state ownership. The OPS is scholarly, and the charitable organization consists of the sole owner. So now they're having this big fight about this church that's basically a Russian Orthodox church in the old city of Jerusalem, and Russia wants ownership of it. I guess they want to make it sovereign territory of Russia. I guess. I don't know. And I found that interesting that that would actually make the news, because quite frankly, Netanyahu could care less about this.
Yeah.
They could care less.
Oh, well, no, he's too busy bombing Gaza City with airstrikes and AI Reaper drones.
Well, and that might be what this is.
Yeah.
This may have been released to the media to try to stop the discussion of Gaza in the media.
That's right.
And here's another one. I'm shocked damaged electric vehicles are stranded on Vancouver Island. They can't get them on the ferry to get them fixed.
Well, they lock up.
They lock up, yeah. Tow truck driver Steve Blunt made room for a pristine-looking Polestar electric car in Mid-Island's towing last Friday after electric vehicle was been in limbo for 4 days. The EV owner by a Whistler coupler is essentially stuck on the island since there's no repair facility to fix it. Jeff, frustrating, horrendous to the car's owner. We can't get the car off the island. I'm shocked. There's no threat. There's no hanging wires. There's no reason, in my opinion, that anybody out there couldn't transfer this on the ferry. Well, he doesn't realize you got to put it on dollies.
Yeah.
The wheels are tied
up. Put on dolly rollers.
Moffitt and his wife returning home to Whistler on Monday when he says the two-year-old EV encountered an error while they parked waiting for the ferry to depart. Now, the computer's still on, but he couldn't get it to move forward. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a major thing. Maybe it's a computer glitch. The tow truck was called, but when the tow truck was tried to take the EV to the Horseshoe Bay, it was denied entry on the BC ferries due to Transport Canadian regulations that have been strictly enforced by the carrier and can be applied to the discretion. Rules at Mid-Island Tolly said are essentially trapping EVs that can't be repaired on the island here. If you bring an electric vehicle to Vancouver Island, you damage it so you can't drive it home. Now, what's the problem here, and I think that they're probably saying this, and they don't go into detail on this, those cars, those batteries are extremely dangerous.
Oh, they're volatile, boy.
That ship got sunk out in the doggone Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with $500 million worth of cars on it. And finally, they were dragging it back after the fire, and it, quote, capsized, so they could never figure out what happened to it in the middle of the ocean, and kind of went into, you know, a 10,000-foot ravine, fell into a big giant hole in the middle of the Atlantic, and they could never even bring it back up or try to exhume the ship to find out what happened for the insurance claims. You know, insurance companies are horrible. They're awful.
They really are.
They will completely and totally hose you over 90% of the time if you give them a chance. Yeah. I've seen that repeatedly with State Farm, which I absolutely loathe. Can't stand State Farm. They used to be one of the best insurance companies in the world. Now they're horrible.
Well, no, as soon as they get a chance to screw you over, rip you off, they do it. That's why you got to be so cautious with them as far as how they handle stuff and watch it. And sometimes you got to get a second set of eyes on something to get someone else's opinion on it.
Sometimes you got to get an attorney and go after State Farm.
Yeah.
I remember years ago.
That's why this bad faith claims are such a big deal now in Florida.
Years ago we had a hurricane come through back in 93, and my whole screen room it warped it. It was hanging down. It was like, it looked like it was about to fall down. It had a big swamp, you know, thing in it. I'm like, that's great. So I called State Farm and said, my screen room's been damaged. And they said, it's sagged within its structural limits. We won't repair it.
Yeah.
And I said, it looks like it basically is 100 years old.
Fall over.
It's got a giant pot belly on it. It's hanging down inside. So it's a fall down any time. I said, I need it replaced. We won't do that and then they sent an engineering team out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They spent a big bunch of money on an engineering report so they wouldn't have to pay for the thing. Then a few years later, I had the same thing happen to my roof. I had hail damage. The roof got destroyed. And they go, the shingles weren't installed properly. I said, what does that have to do with hail? And they wouldn't cover it. So this is State Farm. This is 20 years ago stuff. And now it's gotten worse.
Well, no, and now it's gotten really bad because we're watching a huge issue down here in the state of Florida now because State Farm came back in with other home insurance companies. And they came in and said, if your roof is more than 15 years old, you have to replace it immediately now or your homeowner's insurance is going to go up. Well, the problem is a lot of people are on fixed incomes. A lot of people sitting there going, you know, my mortgage is $2,000, $3,000 a month down here in Florida, these houses. I'm already paying homeowner's insurance, which is $2,000, $3,000 a year. And I've talked to a buddy that had this happen. They come back in. They say, we got to put a new roof on in 30 days. He goes, I don't have the $25,000 right now to put a new roof on. I said, okay, that's fine. Well, just letting you know your renewal is going to be up in 30 days, and your homeowner's insurance is going from $3,000 a month to $11,000 a month.
No, $11,000 a year.
$11,000 a year. Excuse me. Yeah, $3,000 a year to $11,000 a year. He goes, that's $8,000 to $9,000 a year going up. So his house payment all of a sudden went up like $880 a month.
Oh yeah,
overnight. Because they deemed that his house.
Because remember,
just over
if you have
years.
Less than 20%, less than 8, if you don't have at least 80% covered on the thing, they force you to get private mortgage insurance.
Yep. Which I always got a kick out of that one because I'm like, okay, does that mean if you default on your mortgage, you can't pay it? They cover you? Oh no. No, they provide you nothing with private mortgage insurance. It's another way to tax you hundreds of dollars a month just for the cause of you having a loan with them that they deem it's not enough money down. It's, again, more ways the bankers rip everybody off, and insurance companies are right there with them now.
And the way I used to get out of that, you have to put 20% down.
Right.
And you put 20% down, which is a lot of money, especially nowadays.
Yep.
But if you put 20% down, you would not have to have private mortgage insurance.
Yep.
But before that, they would always just hose you with that.
But it's always funny to me because I asked a mortgage worker, I said, what's private mortgage insurance? Does that mean, you know, if I don't pay my payment, they cover it for you? No. It means you get nothing. You get zero. You just pay more money every month because we deemed it so. And I'm like, gosh, no wonder Jesus ran them out of the temple.
They put the whip to them.
Sick of them, dude. Man. Always ripping everybody off all the time. And here's another article, too. It says, vitamin B12 deficiency is a common health problem that can have serious consequences, but doctors often overlook it. I thought it was interesting and relevant to yesterday's topic. And it goes here, and it talks about how individuals, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, it says B12 deficiency a lot of times shows up as fatigue, a level of tiredness or exhaustion. Other symptoms can be tingling in extremities, confusion, memory loss, depression, and difficulty maintaining balance. I didn't realize it gets that bad if you get B12 deficiency.
It's with the nerves and with the brain, yep.
Yeah. Some of these can be permanent. The vitamin deficiency is not addressed, and it goes into detail here. It says people that consume plant-based diets absolutely have to take B12 supplements on a daily basis, or else they can start having significant deficiencies.
Look at this. B12 absorption is a complex multi-step process. That's why you have to use sublingual.
Yes.
Okay. That begins in the mouth and ends in the far end of the small intestine. When we chew, our food gets mixed with saliva. When the food is swallowed, a substance in saliva called R-protein, a protein that protects B12 from being destroyed by stomach acid, travels to the stomach along with the food. Specific cells in the stomach lining called parietal cells secrete two substances that are important to B12 absorption. One is stomach acid. It splits the food and B12 apart, allowing the vitamin to bind to the saliva's R-protein. The other substance, called intrinsic factor, mixes with the stomach's contents and travels with them into the first part of the small intestine. Once in the duodenum, the pancreatic juices release B12 from R-protein and hand it over to the intrinsic factor. This pairing allows B12 to be absorbed into the cells, where it could help maintain nerve cells in the form of healthy red blood cells. Now, I'm going to stop one second. I'm going to segue with this.
Yeah.
Go back to this.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is just B12.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. Give this camera, Lana. That's just B12. Okay. So, when I was an amoeba, according to these idiots in these colleges, okay, my amoeba said, my precursor to these guys who believe this nonsense, who have to be hit upside the head with a rock or something. Remember, they believe that we came from a rock.
Yeah.
Remember that. The lightning hit the rock and created a peptide, okay? And then a billion years later, that rock, they got hit with the lightning, builds an amoeba. Now, they don't tell you how they did it. They can't do it in a laboratory.
No.
They can't even make an amoeba, all right? But that amoeba goes, I'm going to be a human now. Well, the law of physics doesn't allow that. Everything follows the least path of resistance.
That's exactly right.
An amoeba doesn't want to be a human. It wants to be an amoeba. In fact, it didn't even know how it became an amoeba. It doesn't care. There's not a big electrical thing going on with an amoeba, right? But that amoeba decides, I'm going to become a slime now, and then I'm going to crawl. Now, they don't tell you where they get the arms and the legs to get to crawl.
No,
they say, that's another 5 billion years. Well, that's how they justify. It's like giving you a constant, you know, in physics. Well, we're giving you some information about the planet and how it really works. So, but it doesn't work with math. So we have to give you a constant so you can lie through your equations to make sure you get the right answer, because we have to lie to you. So all of a sudden, now this amoeba becomes this slime. The slime crawls out, doesn't tell you where it came out of, the primordial slime. And eventually that primordial slime goes, I want to be a human. Another 5 billion years pass.
Or a monkey.
That's stupid. If humans came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? That's the question I always ask. I mean, it's so stupid. You got divergent, convergent evolution. They taught me all this crap in college. I thought, this is stupid. And I remember we had a college professor at Florida State. And I had a genetics class. And I remember we asked him one time, because, you know, this is evolution, right? This is way back when, and we're still talking about it. We're debating it because we don't believe it. And the guy, we said, is it possible that we evolved from a monkey or from the slime or from a rock? And he looked at the classroom. He didn't know what to say. He goes, well, I did my dissertation on this.
Wow.
So he's like an absolute expert in this.
Yeah.
He got his doctorate in this. And he goes, it's impossible. I did a mathematical model on it.
It was impossible.
He said it couldn't have happened. He said it did not happen. He said, I'm not saying where we came from, but he said, this didn't happen. He said, it would have to be literally trillions of years old for this to have happened, and then it still couldn't happen. So here's the thing. I gave you a 5-minute little segue here. Here's the thing I'm trying to make. Look how complicated it is for B12 just to get absorbed.
Just to get absorbed, yeah.
That's intelligent design. Now, if you don't believe that, then you're not paying attention to what we just read. It didn't just happen by accident. Because, I mean, all of these parameters have to be met. You have to have the right vitamins, the right amino acids, the right fats, the right everything in your body, the right trace minerals in order to create a human being. That's why when you're pregnant, it's so important to take the Health Masters prenatal program.
Oh, yeah. And omega-3 the cod.
And the omega-3 cod, because that last trimester, the brain of the mother's vitamin or the omega-3 fats are pulled out of her brain if need be, if it's not in the diet, to create the brain of the child, and the woman will come down with postpartum depression. But the child will literally suck the omega-3 out of the mother's brain, giving her unbelievable problems with depression. This is the problem that I have with all of this stupid stuff they try to teach you about evolution. It's asinine. It doesn't even make stupid sense. So I read that about just B12, and I go, wow. But now, segue back, that's why our B12, wherever it went, is basically
sublingual.
Sublingual. It bypasses all this. It ties up with the saliva here and absorbs directly into the bloodstream under the tongue. That's why it works so well. That's why I couldn't sleep last night. I took too many of them. Okay? It's part of it. So that's why I always tell people, take your B vitamins first thing in the morning, but don't overload on them. But notice I'm still here. It didn't hurt me. It just kept me awake.
It kept you awake.
Well, I felt great yesterday,
though. Oh, I bet you. I know. You were rolling all day.
Oh, man. Oh, I was cranked up, man. I tell you, it was wonderful. Oh, by the way, fewer young people are meeting 5 milestones typically associated with being an adult and growing up. Here they are. And one of the reasons this has happened is not because they don't want to in some cases, because they can't financially afford to. Mm. Housing has gone through the roof. You know, we used to be able to rent a nice apartment for $200 a month.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was nice.
I mean, even when I was in college, I mean, we had a 3-bedroom, 2-bath on the top floor over in Lakeland. I think we were at 900 or 1,000 a month.
Yeah, now it's 2,000.
Oh, minimum. 3 bedrooms pushing 2,500 now for an apartment over in Lakeland.
But it said, looked at the data and said, here are the things that kids aren't doing anymore. They are not basically going through major life events. They don't want to move out of their parents' house. Don't blame them on that. They don't want to get married. The marriage penalty with people who get divorced is so bad, you know, that, you know, if you get married and divorced about 3 or 4 times, you pretty much are starting from zero every time.
If you're a guy.
Okay. So I'm going to say something that's going to make you guys all either mad or happy, one of the two. You know, nothing says I love you like a legal binding document from the state of Florida called a marriage license. You think, what did you say? Well, I'll repeat it in case anybody thought I didn't say this. Nothing says I love you to your spouse like a legal binding document from the state of Florida. It was called a marriage license. This is not even in the Bible. Okay, there's nothing here. They don't have.
You got to pay your taxes, buddy. Okay, now, you got to do your fair share.
Here's how I look at this. If a person really loves somebody and they don't want to be alone and they want to be with somebody, if they get married to them with a priest and they become basically it's a holy matrimony, to me, in my opinion, just my humble opinion, you need to really evaluate if you really want to get a marriage license. Now, a lot of people say, well, a priest can't marry you legally in that state unless you have a license. And that's true.
I've heard that.
That is true in many cases, all right? But the reality is there's enough priests and pastors out there that would say, yeah, I'll do that for you just before God. I had this happen. I'm going to tell you the story. A friend of mine from Miami, great lady. I told her this, and she was in love with this guy who was a dancer and a singer, and he was super good looking. He's like 15, 20 years younger than her. And I asked her one time, I said, you know, are you guys, has he ever kissed you? And she goes, well, no, he's never kissed me. He doesn't want to do that. I said, oh, okay. And I said, he's probably gay. I don't normally cover this kind of stuff, okay? And I said, and this girl's just a friend. And I said, if you get married to this dude, because he wants to get married, you need to make sure that you do it before God only, because both of them passed the age of childbearing. And so they didn't want any kids. And I said, and just make sure it's a Christian marriage, you know, with a priest or a pastor or whatever. She goes, okay. And so about a year later, she gets married to him, right? And I call her up and I say, congratulations, you know, leave her a message. Can you give me a call? I wonder how it's going. Crickets. About 6 months later, I text her up and said, you know, how's the marriage going with so-and-so? Crickets. Finally, about a month later, she calls me up. She goes, he's gay. And I said to her, has he kissed you yet? No, nothing. And I said, yeah, I told you he's gay. And so she didn't have to worry about going through the court. This is true. This is a true story. I'm not making this
Friday,
up.
Man.
It's Friday. And she basically handed him a certificate of divorce.
Said goodbye. Have fun being gay.
And now she's very wealthy. And so she basically did have to go through, I'm taking half your stuff now because we were married for 6 weeks. Or 6 months.
He probably had an EV or something anyway. She wouldn't have got much out of that relationship.
Well, no, she was the one with the money.
Oh, was she? You know, okay, yeah. Good.
And the sad part about this is I asked her, I said, you know, I'm going to say it again. Did he ever kiss you before you got married? Nothing. And, you know, and the sad part about all of this stuff is, you know, I understand that some people want to get married and they don't want to have
a relationship. We're almost done.
I got all that, okay? And I understand that, we need to try to do everything from a godly standpoint. But, you know, when somebody walks like a duck and he quacks like a duck and he can sing and dance like a duck, chances are he's a duck. Just thought I'd mention that. So there are a lot of ducks out there, ladies. Be careful. And guys, be careful. There are a lot of crazies around, all kind of psychiatric meds, too. So you got to watch out for that, too. So anyhow,
switching gears. I was
talking about with these five milestones that don't get met anymore.
Yeah. What's the other one now? So we've rabbit holed down for 10 minutes.
So no, I'm not that well done.
I got a good article.
They don't move out of their parents' house. They don't get married. They don't have children, and they said there's been a dramatic shift in the attainment of these milestones. For the reason for this, according to the paper, is that more young adults between the ages of 25 and 34 are facing economic barriers compared to previous generations. Changing societal attitudes around family foundation are also contributing to sharp decline. And I'm going to mention this again. And about half of them are bisexual. I'll tell you, I've learned some crazy crap in a few years. According to the working paper, changes the milestone in adulthood. Almost half the young adults in 75 had reached those four milestones by the age of 25. Five decades later, now they don't. People don't want to do it anymore. So I find it interesting, but you know, it's sad to me because this is why we're having the dissolution of the nuclear family. This is why Cracker Barrel is changing everything.
Don't get me started on Cracker Barrel.
Because that whole thing of Cracker Barrel and the nuclear family, they want to completely extinguish it from the memories of the American population. And you know, and look at this. Now look at this. Look at this crap. You know how long it's going to take to remodel this to that?
Oh, and the question is, too, all the Cracker Barrels, what are they going to do with all the antique stuff
they
have?
All the memorabilia. And it'll probably be sold on open market. But the crazy part about this is they're going to come in and do all of this stuff, and they're going to lose weeks, if not months, worth of time and money for renovation.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars in sales. Okay, and the people who are going to come in are going to go, God,
what
this
the
is
heck
awful,
is
man.
This?
You know, it looks like a sterile, weird place now. Look at the nice little tables. This is like a little kitchen table that you'd have at home.
You got the paddle that you go canoeing in down river, across the lake.
No, there's a little motor, but you can't do that because remember, these transgenders, they don't want to paddle a canoe.
No. They don't want to go outside.
They don't want to go out. They would sit on their computer.
Dye their hair green and purple.
Yeah, they don't want to get out on a boat and have to paddle back to shore because the boater quit. I've done that before. It wasn't fun at the time. I look back on it. It was
interesting. I like water rafting. That's fun.
Water rafting is great. Especially the Chattooga River up in North Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's, big boy. Be careful. Don't be doing that if you're not, if you can't swim.
If you can't swim, stay out of the river.
No, there are people I've been in boats for. We can't swim. I'm like,
yeah.
Great. That's great.
Anyways,
what are you doing on the boat?
Another study has come out now on creatine monohydrate, the most studied supplement with benefits beyond the gym.
I take it every day.
This is getting more and more coverage. This is the reason why on the creatine that we have is out of Germany. And it also is in a controlled release capsule because it's
Germans make good stuff.
They make great stuff. Because they we love Deutschland. The thing about it is you have to have controlled release. A lot of people take too high doses of creatine. I explained this to their body, and the body can't process all of it and gets turned to creatine-9, which is a waste. This is why we use a controlled release capsule, which is designed to break down the small intestines. Anyways, to the story on here, it says, why is creatine and why supplement? Creatine is a naturally occurring compound found in red meat and fish, fuels your body and your brain by producing ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate, your body's main energy source. Now, what's wild about this, it says it boosts memory and intelligence. Studies show creatine improves short-term memory and reasoning skills. This has anything to do with gym performance right here. Next one says, mental edge under fatigue, short on sleep, creatine helps you stay sharp.
The CEO of Cracker Barrel needs to take some of this stuff.
Yeah, and some attention factor and wake up out of her stupor before she ruins an entire restaurant. I mean, across the entire country. Cracker Barrel's everywhere.
I wonder who owns Cracker Barrel. I'm
glad you asked. Pull it up. Brain energy support, while he's looking that up, creatine increases phosphor creatine levels in the brain, acting as energy reserve for neurons. It says in one study, participants who went 24 hours without sleep performed significantly better on reaction time, balance, and cognitive tasks when supplementing with creatine. They said need less sleep. Animal studies suggest creatine may decrease total sleep time while maintaining energy levels. Now, you need to get sleep. It's really important, but a lot of times you can go without sleep for a while or small amounts of sleep if you're short periods. This helps reduce that, especially post-exercise recovery and jet lag. Creatine hormonal balance said it doesn't cause hair loss, support stress management. It's not a steroid. It's not a hormone. It also helps out. So look at this, traumatic brain injury and concussions. Studies show creatine supplementation before injury may reduce brain damage by 36%. Some human trials also suggest faster recovery in concussion patients. That's an interesting one I did not know. So again, another reason why creatine's a great product. In or out of the gym, give it a try if you want to.
I take two of these a day, and BlackRock is the primary owner of Cracker Barrel. Larry Fink, baby. World Economic Forum. By 2030, you'll own nothing. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy.
They don't even want us to have Cracker Barrel anymore. I mean, that looks like Denny's to me, and I don't even like Denny's.
Denny's is awful.
It's awful. Look at the tables. I mean, these laminate tables. They still kept the floor. I guess that's too hard to pull up all that brick.
No, and they did paint the walls. You can see that.
Yeah.
They didn't try to replace all that paneling.
All that paneling. But gosh, dude, I mean, what? BlackRock. Why am I not surprised?
Then we go BlackRock, GM Capital, all these money companies. Vanguard, number three. Alliance, Bernstein, there you go, and Freer. I can't believe I said that. Earnest Partners, and another capital. And then State Street finally wrapping up the top seven. Those are the ones who own Cracker Barrel. And it's called Cracker Barrel Old Country Store.
Yeah.
Now it's not the Cracker Barrel Old Country
now
Store.
Now it's Cracker Barrel Wannabe Denny's. Queerville. I mean,
it's not going to happen.
No, they're not going to do it. I'm telling you, they're not going to do it. That demographic is not there.
No, it's not. They go to Starbucks.
They go to Starbucks, exactly. Yeah. That's what you're going to see. You're not going to see huge swaths of demographics and increased spending from those groups going to Cracker Barrel, no matter how much they change it.
Again, this whole thing with her being CEO is just another one of these DEI initiatives.
That's exactly what
That's
it is.
That's all it is. Because the one who pushed it the most was Larry Fink from BlackRock.
Yep.
He pushed them, and now he's pushing the same thing with the World Economic Forum. He took it over from Klaus Schwab.
The whole reason why Cracker Barrel exploded in the 70s and 80s when it started rolling out is because it gave everybody that memorabilia, the nostalgia of the old, country. Basically, the pioneers, the settling, the front porch. So anyways, but yeah, so they want to get rid of that.
Oh, by the way, they're interviewing a guy who basically developed AI, worked with AI. He says, AI is an 800-pound gorilla with a 900 IQ. Ooh. Personal data, omniscience, recursive self-improvement, and the war for total control. The exponential advancement of artificial intelligence poses an existential threat to humanity in its whole. And warns, this warns an Emmy award-winning media personality, Lionel. Oh, I've been on with his show before. I've been on with Lionel before. He's gotten old. He's old, but I've been on with him.
Everybody
before.
Ages, man.
Yeah, he was an interesting character doing on the show. He was an interesting one. Listen to this. I was on with Lionel years ago. And some of you remember this because you sent me emails on it. I didn't realize this was Lionel. He's aged so much. And we start talking. He's loving it. And I'm talking about top 10 foods never to eat. I'm going into detail on all this. And suddenly, I start asking questions about 9/11.
On the show.
On the show.
Live?
Live.
Oh, boy.
And I mean, you talk about the show ending. It ended so quickly. It was like, nice to have you on tonight, Dr. Bro. You got to go. Bye. Click. That was it. I mean, it was that fast. Because I started talking. We were talking about 9/11 and why we were being lied to about Building 7 and all the stuff that didn't add up as far as why they said the towers came down. I straight brought it up on his show. And boy, that was the end of me and Lionel.
That was it.
Yeah, but I was on a show. He was actually a good host. He really was. Very full of energy.
That was a foreboding topic.
But he was an Emmy award-winning media personality, Lionel, about the dire implications of artificial intelligence. And so I wonder now if I could come on here and say to Lionel now, if he's still on the air, which I doubt he is, hey, Lionel, who was right about 9/11? Yeah. Hey, Lionel, guess what? Hey, Lionel. But he was very, 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 very direct communicator. And I have to admit, though, I enjoyed being on the show for the first 5 minutes, and it was over with.
Where'd all the WMDs go in Iraq?
Yeah. The problem is, once you have somebody, and he was very big as a media guy, but once they learn that, you know, they can't say certain things, it's like Mancow told me. Yeah. He says, here's the deal. If you're in media, you can be far right, you can be far left, but you can't go down the middle. You can't complain about both parties. You can't do it, because when you do that, you teach people how to think like George Carlin did.
Yep.
There's a big club, boys and girls, and you ain't in it.
Yeah.
Do you have your ticket for the deep underground military facility? The dumb. Are you going to be able to go there when you want? Are you going to go in there and be able to have a snack every once in a while? Oh, no, you don't have a ticket to get in. There's something really weird going on when you start to realize that these entities that have run the planet now for thousands of years are still running the planet. And they basically have a group of people they use that aren't allowed to speak about things in both directions. You know, when Howard Stern's basically got off the air now, or he's going to be off the air. But you think about it, how much of his $100 million a year salary, which is insane, by the way, 93 people on staff, was actually being paid by that one? What was that
Houston.
One? Houston.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Elon pulled that out, it was $58 billion or whatever. All those funds were trickling down like spider webs to the media, through the CIA and everything else.
So, I mean, because how about Operation Mockingbird?
Operation Mockingbird.
And so now all of a sudden that gets exposed, that gets stopped. And so Howard Stern's has gone less
money
than a year.
Money starts drying up.
Huh? $100 million, big chunk of cash.
Yeah, $58 billion in UCITS funds. You can disperse that pretty doggone well. I mean, you tell you, that's a lot of cash start dispersing. $10 million here.
But he was so liberal and so far to the left, and he was so awoke that it was nauseating. I listened to Howard a few times back in the 90s when he was fighting for control with Mancow.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, you know, Howard was so perverse and so weird. I had no interest in even listening to him. He was sickening.
Here's another article that just came out, the gut-brain axis. We've talked about this before, and more research keeps coming out. It says unlocking the connection between probiotics and mental health. Scientists have found the microbe, the community of microorganisms in your gut, play a pivotal role in regulating brain function. The bacteria in your gut can produce neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and gamma, or GABA, all of which are critical for mood and mental health. Now, think about that for a second. This goes back to what Dad was talking about with the amoeba. The gut microbe in your intestines can help regulate serotonin and dopamine in your brain. Think how interconnected this is. Then it goes on to say, your probiotics are uniquely positioned to restore gut balance, influencing physical health, mental clarity, and emotional stability. Certain strands of probiotics are specifically studied for the effects on the gut-brain axis. Now, it's interesting. It lists the bacteria on here as far as it works the best with the probiotics. And what's interesting, if you go on our new site, which a lot of you guys are enjoying now, the shop pay and everything else on here. Let me see. Probiotics, pull it up for y'all. Whoops. Whoops.
Do I need to intervene for
you?
No,
I kept pushing the wrong button.
Are you going
probiotic here?
Are you circling?
I know. That's I try to pull it up. Probiotic 100 billion here. This is one of the most effective ones that we have as far as what it does, with over 100 billion CFU colony forming units. This is a really important one. And also, two, the 350 billion. This is the strongest one I've ever seen on the market, with 350 billion as far as on there.
We bring this in from Belgium.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. I mean, that's a list right there, boys.
It's in one packet.
One packet. You guys want to get your gut bacteria back where it needs to be. Gosh, it blew up big on the TV. But yeah, so I want to cover that story right there, and I'll post it on the website. It's probiotics to fuel the connection for the brain, how important they are for the gut-brain health, and why, especially if you've been on antibiotics or any other compounds like that, you need to make sure you're taking probiotics to get your gut bacteria back in check. Then, what do you think?
I think probiotics are essential. If you've ever been on antibiotics, you better get on this stuff for at least a month.
Well, that's what the 350s that we put together.
Oh, yeah. It's four antibiotics. And if you've got yeast infections, you need to be on some type of probiotic product. It really, really helps in many cases to ameliorate the symptoms of yeast infections. I guess I can say that because it is true. By the way, six severed heads have been found on a busy street alongside an ominous message.
Where's that?
This is in Mexico.
Yeah.
Severed heads with this ominous message were recently found on a road linking two generally peaceful states in central Mexico. Investigation is now underway. Now, why would they do this and talk about severed heads on the streets of Mexico now, right now? I'm going to tell you why, if you can't figure that one out, because we're massing troops to go into Mexico.
That's exactly right. Marines.
So what we're doing is we're saying, these poor people are dealing with severed heads. We have to go protect them. You know, they have a government there, and they have police there, and they've got their own military there, and they haven't used them against the cartels.
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, with the majority of the cartels tied up in the Mexican government,
That's exactly right.
They are unbelievably corrupt down there, and some of those guys are just pure barbaric as far as their behavior. I mean, cutting heads off, but they've been doing that for decades,
though. Well, now, but they're making news.
They cut their heads off and hang off.
Remember when you watched that movie Sicario, which I don't recommend for kids.
Yes, exactly. You know,
they're going down in Mexico with all
Juarez.
And all of a sudden, their own convoy, which is all Mexican police, turns on them and starts to kill them.
That's the second one. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, start shooting at them. They're those armored Humvees.
Yeah.
Hard armored.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable. Oh, by the way, remember years ago when we went over to that gay nightclub over in Orlando?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that? We went over there to do an investigation.
No. Don't put it like, rephrase that, please.
I said we did an investigation.
After
the people got shot over there.
There you go.
And all the lies were spewed out. You know, they basically had it all fenced off.
And
Austin and I went over to talk to the police that were there because we were talking about it on the podcast. But the rainbow crosswalk outside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando has been painted over by the state, the mayor says. A cruel political act. I guess he must be gay. I'm not trying to pick on the gays here, but this is, I mean, that's...
Painting sidewalks rainbow colors is extremely dangerous, especially people that are colorblind and everything else. You have all these random colors that randomly show up on the street.
The rainbow crosswalk outside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, which commemorated the 49 victims killed in an LGBT-friendly nightclub act in 2016. That's been 10 years ago, Austin.
I know.
Wow. Was painted over by the state. Mayor Buddy Dyer and others revealed on Thursday. We are devastated to learn overnight, they snuck in the middle of the night, you know. It's kind of creeped
with
in
a roller, you know, paint roller.
They painted over the Pulse Memorial crosswalk on the Orange Avenue. But we know that while the crosswalk had been removed, Orlando's commitment to the honoring of 49 can never be erased. In a longer statement, Dyer said this callous action of hastily removing part of a memorial to what was our time in our nation's largest mass shooting without any supporting safety discussion is a cruel political act. Dyer added the crosswalk created in 2017 adheres to the safety standards, and was installed by the state. So the state can do it over, I guess, if they wanted to. The Florida State Senator Smith called painting over the crosswalk the disgusting act of betrayal, and a shared photo of people coloring over the new paint with chalk. So they're back out there with chalk doing it. Oh, they've already put chalk back out.
Of course they did.
Oh, I see. Well, it looks like it's still wrapped. That building is still there, buddy.
Is it?
Yeah. If this is a new thing. No, this was a rainbow color. Okay, this is a rainbow color thing. It was in 2017, so I don't know if the building is still there or not. A Pulse survivor who hid in the bathroom as the government opened fire also posted social media about the removal of the crosswalk. So, it's sad, and for the people that died there that night, my deepest condolences to the family, because I could joke about this kind of stuff, but I can't joke about that. But the problem is a lot of the stuff that we were told about that simply did not happen the way they told us. And they told us, the cops of that day, one of them did, who told us the truth, that the news would be telling the truth about it, and nothing we were told in the media was true.
Exactly right.
And guess what? The news never corrected it.
Nope.
It never corrected it. It never corrected that narrative.
That's the crazy part. Speaking of that, over 460 arrests have already been made now from the National Guard with the takeover of D.C. You know, I've been to D.C. multiple times. And every time I got there, every time I went there, it got worse and worse and worse as far as the homeless issue and the crime. This whole thing as far as coming in and cleaning up the city, I can't blame this aspect of it because, quite frankly, D.C. is the capital of the United States. It reflects a lot of how this country is. And when you have gigantic homeless encampments all around the entire city, which they have seen them, it's pretty bad. They said multiple MS-13 gang members have been arrested, 52 arrests with 9 firearm seizures, basically firearms that were not registered. Now, again, you know how I am about Second Amendment. I highly doubt these were law-abiding citizens that were carrying concealed firearms in D.C. D.C.'s already got really strict gun laws, but majority of these people that are involved in this, in most cases from what I've read, have been either illegal or already felons or involved in some type of illicit behavior. But yes, 68 guns now have been seized since August 19th, just a couple days. Jeez. So
that's a lot of guns.
A lot of firearms in D.C. Well, you got to remember, it's illegal to own a firearm in D.C. How could the criminals possibly have firearms?
Well,
it's illegal.
Well, here's the crazy part about it all. You know, when we had the January 6th insurrection,
yeah,
the worst event in the history of the United States.
How many
zero
firearms
guns
seized?
Were seized?
How many firearms were seized?
None.
It was a big fat zero on that one.
Worst insurrection I've ever
seen. Worst insurrection I've ever seen. But yeah, there's 68 guns seized in a few days with rest on here with a bunch of felons and MS-13 gang members running around. But there wasn't a single firearm seized on January 6th.
See, all the people went to prison. Over 1,000.
Just think about that for a second.
Oh, by the way, Putin demands Ukraine's surrender. And they basically give you the same thing he's been saying for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They give up all the Eastern Donbass region, renounce ambitions to join NATO, keep neutral and keep the Western troops out of the country. 3 sources familiar with top level Kremlin thinking told Reuters, nothing's changed with Putin. At least he's consistent all the time. I actually like the fact that he's so.
He hasn't really changed his tone on that.
No, he's right about all that. I agree with him 100% about that. It's unbelievable that we've got ourselves involved in this stuff and that we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine. But it was a giant money laundering scheme weapons laundering
scheme. Raytheon and Lockheed deemed it so. They haven't told everybody the war's over yet.
And we already know. You know, it's so funny. Every time we look them up to see who owns the people, it's always the same people.
Yeah, it's always the same people. And then, there's been so many rumors and theories and stories and just, you know, interviews of discussions of how money was coming back to Congress, how the cash was going over to Ukraine, then it was funneling back, and then the weapons going down through Istanbul and the Black Sea, down to Yemen, feeding all the fighting down in Africa. The whole thing's been just a giant money weapon laundering, trafficking.
One of the most corrupt countries in the world.
If you guys remember this, before 2022, Ukraine was listed as the number 3 most corrupt country in the entire world, I think below Brazil and Colombia, if it serves me right. That completely changed on Wikipedia. They scrubbed it.
Oh, first I've listened to that anymore. By the way, at least 600 CDC employees, good riddance, are getting final notices that the Trump administration has targeted the department. I mean, this is absolutely great that they're being booted out. We sure don't need them because they sure don't do anything. So I'm happy they're going. Oh, by the way, John Bolton's home was raided. This is a big deal. I mean, he was a former, I forgot what he was, but he was some big dude because FBI raids Bolton's home. Then dawn, the FBI agents descended on the home of Trump's former national security advisor shortly before 7 a.m. Friday morning. They always have to do it in the mornings. They can wake you up and shake everybody up.
Oh, yeah. Nothing screams free America like a flashbang in your front door at 4 a.m.
Well, this is 7 a.m. At least they waited until it was daylight.
Yeah.
The FBI, this is actually this morning, the FBI and Montgomery County Police were seen at Bethesda home of John Bolton, who served as national security advisor Donald Trump on his first term. I wonder what they're looking for. Montgomery County Police sealed off the street in which Bolton lives while an unmarked black SUV approached and basically took into the house and basically served these warrants, I guess. Following the Bulwark's initial reporting, Barbara Burdock's New York Post, the FBI has done this. Bolton was a target of investigation in Trump's first term for allegedly disclosing classified information on the 2020 memoir, The Room Where It Happened. Bolton served as third national security advisor under Trump, following the briefing sent of Mike Flynn and stormy tenure of H.R. McMaster. Bolton succeeded McMaster in 2018, remained national security advisor until he resigned in 2019. And when he left, he wrote a book about his tenure. So, I mean, so a lot of people didn't like John Bolton, and I was one of them. I didn't care for him at all. And so, but I want to know why and what they're looking for by raiding his house like this.
Yeah. There's always a reason why.
They want to charge him for something.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to find an example of him.
Well,
he may have classified documents or something there. That's what they want.
Yes. Appreciate you guys. You guys need anything, check out the website, Team Health Masters. Grab some creatine, grab some, collagen. Grab the eyesight, the B12. tons of stuff on there on sale. Be sure to check it out. I appreciate you, my friends. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and healthy as always. We'll talk to you on this show.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Have fun in church on Sunday. And remember, I'm praying for you on Sunday, and I'm thanking God Almighty that you guys are praying for me. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. Thank you for your support of Health Masters. We love you.
Appreciate y'all.